Well, good morning to everybody watching or listening here today. Today I'm going to bring a message which has a strange title. It's called, "It's Not a Cheap Day Trip." I heard that phrase, somebody said it recently, so I thought I'd preach on it, okay? It's not a cheap day trip. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Peter says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Amen. This is God's word for us this morning. Now, I don't know if any of you here has ever heard of a strange place called Ballybunion. Ballybunion is a seaside resort on the west coast of Ireland. And when I was growing up, we never went on a holiday. Okay? I never stayed in a hotel when I was growing up, because my family couldn't afford to go on holidays in those days. We didn't even have the miners' welfare to go to in Skegness. So what we did every year was my mum, once a year, would book a taxi. And we would have a day out, a day trip to Ballybunion. And my memories of Ballybunion are of sitting in the car eating our sandwiches in the rain, or paddling in the waves in the midst of a full-blown gale. Practically every day we went to Ballybunion, it just blew up a storm. I suppose nowadays that's what you would call a cheap day trip. But I want to say to you this morning that what we are about here this morning is not a cheap day trip. Amen. Building church is not a cheap day trip. Being involved in building church is not cheap, and it's not easy. Now, the Bible tells us this morning some amazing facts. It tells us in 1 Peter chapter 9 that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He doesn't tell you what you will be when Jesus comes back again. He's not talking about the future. He's talking about the present. He says, you are. This is what you are. Okay? So whenever that anxiety comes upon you, whenever you feel that you are nobody, Whenever you feel a bit fragile in your emotions, remind yourself of this scripture and tell yourself, I am one of God's chosen people. I am a royal priest. I am a holy person, and I am God's possession. He has chosen me. He has possessed me. He has come into my life. He has bought me to be his own by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So tell yourself who you are. The church is a bit like a Christian. Okay, we are saved. Well, we have been saved. We are being saved, and we will be saved. Well, the church is a bit the same. The church is becoming, and the church one day will be. Amen. Right now, we are chosen, we are precious, we are loved by God, and we are God's possession. So this morning, in this gathering here, we are something incredibly special, and you are incredibly special. And the reason for it all is that we may declare what God has done. That we may declare the praises of God who called us out of darkness. He has delivered you out of darkness, out of your sin, maybe your misery, maybe your depression. He has brought you into a wonderful relationship with himself that you may declare his praises. One of the main reasons for the existence of the church is to be able to praise God, as we did this morning, in a wonderful and amazing way. So, what we are is incredible, but we're also going somewhere. God wants us to build and go on a journey. He wants us to go on a journey with him as a church. And at the beginning of this year, I want us to see today as a new beginning. This is the first day of the rest of your life, and the first day of the rest of the life of this church. It's like we are newborn babes. It's like we are starting all over again. It's like that God wants to put his word into us in a fresh way, so that we begin to grow, and we begin to get excited, and we begin to get people in, and we get involved. Today is a new day, like newborn babes. But going on this journey to build church is not a cheap day trip. It's a supernatural work of God. It's not even Mike's work or Beverly's work or Liz's work or anybody else's work. You know, to build church is the work of God. And it's about us relaxing in many ways and actually letting God do what God needs to do in each one of us. It's about our compliance. It's about our submission. It's about our obedience and letting God do in you and in us what God only can do. It's a supernatural work of God. It's not done in our strength. It says in, I think it's the book of Psalms, unless the Lord build the house, the laborers, that's you and I, labor in vain. We have to get out of the way in many ways, and let God build his church through Jesus Christ. Let God rule and reign in our lives and rule and reign in his church. It's not possible to build church if we harden our hearts. It's not possible to build church if we become inflexible or if we start putting in all sorts of conditions and all sorts of making all sorts of excuses as to why we can't do this, and we have a can't-do mentality. When this church started as Life Spring, and back in the early 2000s, and right throughout the life of this church, there has been an amazing can-do mentality. It's a can-do, not a can't-do, not a make-excuse kind of mentality. It's not possible to let God do his thing if we put up limits. If we say we have this condition and that condition, and we can only do this and only, we have to open up the whole gambit of what God wants to do and let God do his thing. I want this year to be a new beginning for me and for you, for God to do some incredible, amazing works of supernatural power in our lives. Submit to God. Let God be God in our lives. And let's remind ourselves what we are truly about. Let's just take a moment this morning and say, yes, I do want it to be a new beginning for me. I do want it to be a new beginning for this church. I do want us to begin to build and grow and increase in ministries and in spiritual depth and in strength and numerically and in small groups and in congregations. Yes, I do want it. But what are we all about as a church? Why are we here? What is this LifeSpring Church all about? Well, first of all, we have to think about the church that we see 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the line. Do we see a church that has dwindled? And like many of the churches around us in this area that were thriving 20, 30, 40 years ago, they have dwindled and many of them are closing. They're closing their doors for the last time. They're selling their buildings. What do we see in 10 years' time in this church, in LifeSpring Church? What do we want it to be? What do we want to work for? To bring about not only here in Ullerton, but in Warsop, in Tuxford, in Newark, in Bilsthorpe, in all the villages and towns around here. What do we see? You know, we see more churches. Yeah. Do we see a congregation in Ullerton that has dwindled away to nothing? Well, I hope not, because I'm going to explain to you this morning why a strong, thriving congregation here in Ullerton is absolutely vital for achieving the church that we see in 10, 15 years' time. Therefore, I want to say, first of all, what we will not build with. We will not build with wood, hay, and stubble. Amen. Because a church that is built with wood, hay, and stubble is going to be blown away. It's not going to last the test that's coming. A church that is built on, as Paul said this morning, deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander and blame, blaming each other and pointing the finger, that's not going to last the test of time. It's going to be blown away. Instead, I see a church that is built of precious metals, precious things, gold and silver and bronze. What are the gold and the silver and the bronze of LifeSpring Church? Well, we're talking about patience. We're talking about humility. Word came about humility this morning. We're talking about kindness. We're talking about love. We're talking about understanding. We're talking about acceptance. We're talking about tolerance. We're talking about cooperation. We're talking about involvement. We're talking about participation. We're talking about a deep, lasting love for one another. Yeah. Those are the things that build church. Amen. We don't build church on envy and jealousy and competition. We build church on rooting for one another and supporting one another. I was just struck this week. I've seen a number of things in the newspapers. A boy in America confronted by somebody, the cameras were there, and he smirked. And the papers are up in arms because of a smirk. Do they know what's going off? Do they know what the boy was thinking? Maybe the boy was threatened. Who knows what's going off in his heart? When somebody doesn't talk to you and they pass you in the street, don't judge. You don't know what's going on. You don't know where that person has come from or what's happened in that person's life that morning. Please, let's not be a judgmental church. Let's not judge people because maybe they don't look at us too often. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what kind of a person that person is. Never judge by facial expressions. You never know what's happening inside. But instead, build with precious things like acceptance and giving the person the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Giving the person the benefit of the doubt. Build with generosity. Be generous in your thinking towards other people. Be generous in your time. Be generous also with your money. Have real generosity. Real generosity means that you give, it costs you something. There's a cost in it. David said at the threshing floor of Arauna, when Arauna wanted to give him the threshing floor for nothing, David said, "No," he said, "I will not sacrifice to the Lord burnt offerings that cost me nothing." We sometimes give because it doesn't cost us a great deal. Yeah, it doesn't cost a great deal. But David said, I'm going to give when it costs me. When it costs. There's a cost in building with precious things. It's not done cheaply. It's not a cheap day trip. So to build a church, that's what we see. We see ourselves building a church that makes the bride, that is Christ, look beautiful. That conveys a wonderful impression of who Jesus is in our community and in our communities. Building with generosity, with sacrificial love. These things. Helping the Church of Jesus to be what the Church of Jesus needs to be in order to win the world for Christ. But I want to say just what God reminded me of also, because I heard this phrase this morning from somebody during prayer, I think it was. The natural comes first and then the spiritual. One of the reasons that I put a lot of my time into looking after this building is because the natural building needs to be looked after. And I believe that the natural comes first so that the spiritual can happen in it. You know, I put a lot of time and effort into looking after this building, and Liz puts a lot of time into the building in Church Warsaw, because we believe in that principle, that we need to look after the spiritual things, the natural things. We need to look after the building, and that's the whole church. It's not just one or two people need to be involved in this. So how are we looking after the material things belonging to God? Because that can be an indication of how seriously we take the spiritual. The natural comes first. How seriously do we take the spiritual? It can be indicated by how seriously we take looking after the natural things in life that God has given us. Our home, our car, our garden. Forgive me, Lord. Our church building. Okay, our cafe. How do we look after them? So the church we see down the road is not falling apart. It's growing. It's strong. It's thriving. It's there for young people. It's there for families. It's there for old people. It's an intergenerational church that's there long after we go, and that thrives and survives. So that's our vision, if you like. Our mission, and the way we bring that about is by sharing Jesus and by saving lives. Amen. By reaching out with that net that we have, that evangelistic net, that net of invitation, that net of relationship, and by bringing in as many people as we possibly can. It's about sharing Jesus with people. It's about bringing them in, and it's about seeing their lives saved and transformed and uplifted, like we were saying this morning. You see, vision is about the future, but mission is about the present. It's about what we're doing now. It's about reaching out, sharing Jesus, and saving lives. Now, mission is vital for success of any organization. Success will depend on how good we are at remaining focused on our mission. Achieving our vision 10 years down the line, that vision will die and come to nothing if we don't focus on our mission now. And our mission now is to share Jesus, yes, and to save lives. Amen. And to bring people in from north and south and east and west. There's a company that I'm sure every person in this room has heard of called Coca-Cola. Everybody has heard of Coca-Cola. Okay. Well, 97% of the world's population has heard of Coca-Cola. 74% have seen a can of Coca-Cola, and 51% of the world have tasted a can of Coca-Cola. They are very successful at achieving their mission. Their mission is to make Coca-Cola known and to get people to taste it and drink it as often as possible. Very good at that. Our mission is to share Jesus and save lives. And it has been said that if the mission of the church was given to Coca-Cola, it would probably all be wrapped up by now. Because the church very often is not very good at the mission that God has given it. We are good at coming together and worshipping God and having a nice time together. But very often when it comes to reaching out and bringing people in and getting them to taste and see that the Lord is good, very often we're not very good at that. So, we have a clear vision. We have a mission that God has given us. But the strategy is very, very often very much down to us. But at the center of our strategy has to be prayer.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Prayer has to be central because God's guidance and God's voice is essential for us to hear. And prayer is the spark. Prayer is what creates the spark of God in our church and in our lives. It creates that spark of God that becomes a fire in us, that burns within us like we were praying this morning, but we need that spark of prayer to set things going before we get that fire going within us. And I want to say this morning that, you know, prayer gives us strength.
Yes.
Prayer is the strength that we need to go on. Year after year after year. I'm just reflecting recently that this is going into my 35th year belonging to this church. And coming from Blidworth. 35 years. Robert Day, here this morning, was in the church before me. Going back to 1974. That's like 44 years in the same church. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible. That's called longevity.
Amen.
Incredible. We need Christians in any church with longevity.
Yes.
I look around, I see Beverly this morning, probably 1992. That's wonderful. We need that. Beryl is waving at me because Beryl has been here since 92 as well, probably. So we can't do this in our own strength. We need to be people of prayer.
Yeah.
Get into prayer and support the prayer meetings as we put them on in this church. So just a couple of things that are so important that I want to share with you from my heart. Prayer is essential, but also good leadership. Good leadership. Leadership that doesn't move. We are living stones, it says in that reading this morning. Living stones being built into a spiritual house. That word living means that we are alive. We're not dead stones, and you can put a dead stone in a place and it won't move and it'll stay there. But the reality of being a living stone is that people have choices. And people don't have to stay, and people don't have to build with you. They have free will, they have free choice. Living stones are wonderful, and we can't build with dead stones, we can only build with living stones. But it's a living house, offering spiritual sacrifices.
Yeah.
And so we need people to stay with us and to build over the next 10, 15, 20 years. Not necessarily build with me, but build with whoever comes after me. Okay, stay and build. Don't allow a time of transition when I go, whenever that is, okay, to be an excuse for moving somewhere else, because I've seen that happen so many times before. Don't allow that to become an excuse. Make up your mind now. This is the time to make up your mind. for this year and for the coming years that this is your spiritual home because God has spoken to you. When you hear the voice of God, you don't move. God said to me, go to Ollerton. God hasn't said to me, leave Ollerton. And therefore, I'm still here. Whatever comes, whatever storm has come my way over the last number of years. Okay, I'm not going anywhere because I know that God sent me here. Okay, and when God tells me it's time, then you'll know about it. You'll be among the first to know about it. So good leadership is essential. I call upon the leaders of this church to be men and women of integrity. All of us to be people of integrity, people who are stable, people who are not blown around by every wind of change and doctrine and difficulty, but to be strong. And as Theresa May talks about strong and stable leadership, doesn't she? Yeah? Well, every organization needs strong and stable leadership. But I think, above all, we need action. We need prayer. We need good leader, but we need people of action. Not people who will create work for other people. Yeah, that's very easy to create work for other people. But all of us, no matter who we are, whether we're a top leader in this church, I'd like to see you serving tea behind that counter. Doesn't matter who we are. I'll go and do it myself. Okay? I'd like to see all of us. Nobody is beyond serving each other in this church. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah? It's absolutely right. So, I just want to wind up this message now with an illustration that I came across recently. It's taken from a book by Paul W. Powell in The Complete Discipleship. And he talks about, he says, many churches today remind me of a laboring crew or a working crew trying to gather in a harvest while they sit in the tool shed. Can you imagine that? Okay, they're sitting in the tool shed. They go to the tool shed every Sunday and they study bigger and better methods of agriculture, sharpen their hoes, grease their tractors, and then get up and go home. Then they come back that night, study bigger and better methods of agriculture, sharpen their hoes, grease their tractors, and go home again. They come back Wednesday night or Thursday night, and again study bigger and better methods of agriculture, sharpen their hoes, grease their tractors, and get up and go home. They do this week in, week out, year in and year out, and nobody ever goes out into the fields to gather in the harvest. Many churches are like that. Always sharpening our tools, always looking for more knowledge, deeper understanding of the scriptures, but actually never going out and doing something. Why? Because so many people in church today, and I'm not necessarily talking about you, if I am, and the cap fits, then please wear it. But many people in church today, what are they looking for? They're looking for a cheap day trip. Something that's easy, something that's convenient. We don't want to put our roots down. We don't want to look to the long term. We don't want the long innings. We want the short innings and the glory and all of that that comes with it. But I want to say to you this morning that if we want to build church here in Ollerton as church should be, and we've been working at this for years now, we're not where we need to be. We have to put our roots down. And if we put our roots down, the Bible says we will flourish. So we are, if you like a river. Life Spring is a river. It's not a spring, it's a river. It's a bit like I researched rivers for this and I came up with the Amazon. We're a bit like the Amazon, not as big, not as long, not as strong, not as powerful in physical, natural terms, but we are like a river, okay? And if you look at the delta of the river, of the Amazon River, I think Matthew is going to put it up there, You see that over here you have the river itself. This is probably taken from space. And then it branches out into tributaries, and then eventually it flows into the sea. That's how I see Life Spring. I see LifeSpring as a church that gives birth to many tributaries. We've already given birth to small groups, ministries, a congregation at Church Warsop. We're already giving birth to different ministries. But I see congregations in other towns around here, around the north of Nottinghamshire as well. But I want to say to you this morning that that can happen only if the flow keeps coming from the source, that is God, and from the river, which is the church. The tributaries will dry up if the river dries up. If LifeSpring Ollerton dries up, the tributaries will dry up. And the strength of this vision lies not necessarily in the different congregations. Like any tree, it lies in the roots and it lies in the trunk. The trunk needs to be strong in order to achieve what we want to do. I wonder, am I getting across to you this vision this morning? That we have to work very hard here at Ollerton to make sure that we stay strong. And that we can continue to pump that life right across this whole area of North Nottinghamshire. If we don't stay strong, if we actually own the vision ourselves here for Ollerton, then we have no overflow. Ollerton needs an overflow all the time. We need an overflow into Newark. We need an overflow into Tuxford. We need an overflow into Bilsthorpe. All these villages that are desperate and dying and have no real life-giving churches. We need to remain strong. And therefore, I say to you this morning, will you make a new beginning with me today, right here and right now, to build this church? You know, sometimes when you look at a tree, you see the beauty of the branches and you say, I want what's on that branch. I want some of that. I want some of that fruit that's on that branch. And we ignore the trunk of the tree, not realizing that actually if we don't look after the tree itself, the branches won't exist anymore. And while we might all like to go to wherever, you know, some people maybe go abroad or whatever, we have to make sure that here at Ollerton, we build a church that is full of passionate, devoted, productive and flourishing Christians. Amen? Amen. Passionate, Amen. Devoted, yes. Productive yes. And flourishing. Amen. Amen. Amen? I encourage you, make a fresh start. This is a new beginning. We're like newborn babes. We're excited all over again about this vision that God has given us. Not just for Ollerton, but for the whole of this north of Nottinghamshire, the whole of this part of Nottinghamshire, or wherever else God would seek to send us. I just pray that God will bless this to you, because this is what we are about as a church. May God bless this message to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.